chapter 38, subject of Kuru's arrival in Vrindavan. In the statement of Narada Muni, there was no mention of the incident of killing the sky demon, which means the sky demon was also killed on the same day as that of the Kesi demon. The Kesi demon was killed in the morning, and after that they went attending the cows on the hill of Govardhan, and there the sky demon was also killed. And it is suggested that in the morning the killing business of these two demons was finished, and the evening, as Akura was requested by Kamsa, he arrived in Vrindavan. Akura, after receiving instructions from Kamsa, lived that night in Mathura, and next morning he started on the chariot for Vrindavan, the place of Nanda Maharaj. Akura himself was a great devotee of the Lord. Therefore, while starting for Vrindavan, he began to pray to the Lord as follows. As devotees are always absorbed in the thought of Krishna, similarly, Akura also constantly thinking of the face of Lord Krishna with his lotus eyes. He began to think within himself that he did not know what sort of pious activities he might have done previously, or what sort of penance and austerities he might have executed previously, so that he was going to see Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan on that day. As pure Vaishnava always thinks unfit for the service of Krishna, similarly, Akura also began to think within himself that he was unfit for such transcendental opportunity of seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Exactly, a materialistic person is unfit for understanding the science of God, or the Shudra, or the fourth class human being is unable to enter into the studies of the Vedas. Akura also began to think that by the grace of Krishna, everything is possible. If he likes, I may be able to see him exactly like a small piece of grass, although floating in the waves of the river, by chance may come near the shore, and thereby it is protected. Similarly, a conditioned soul carried away by the waves of material existence may sometimes be saved by the grace of Krishna. So Kuru thought that if Krishna liked, he would be able to see him. Thus, Akura began to feel himself too much fortunate that he was going to see Krishna, who is to be seen by great mystic yogis. But still, by his grace, Akura himself was going to see him. He was confident, therefore, that on that day, all his sinful reaction of past life will be finished, and his fortunate human form of life will be successful. Akura continued to think that he was very much favored by Kamsa, that he sent him to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura And in this connection, it will be a great opportunity for him to see the Lord. Akura continued to think that formerly great sages and saintly persons were liberated from this material world simply by experiencing the vision of the shining on the nails of the lotus feet of Krishna. That Supreme Personality of Godhead has now adventured himself just like ordinary human being, and it is my great fortune that I would be able to see him face to face. Akura continued to think that he would be able to see the same lotus feet of Krishna, which is worshipped by great demigods like Brahma and Narada and Lord Shiva, and the lotus feet which traverse over the ground of the Vrindavan, and the lotus feet which is put on the breast of the gopis to be colored with the tinges of kumkum. He thought himself so much fortunate that he would be able to see that very lotus feet on that day. Uddhava further began to speculate as follows. Certainly, I shall be able to see the beautiful face of Krishna, which is spotted with a tilak all over the forehead, and his sharp nose, as well as his smiling face, and the decorated with curling hairs, black hairs, and I can be sure of this opportunity because practically I see that the deer are passing on my right side. It will be possible for me to see today actually what is the beauty of the spiritual kingdom of Vishnuloka, because Krishna is the Supreme Vishnu, and he has advented himself out of his own good will, and he is the reservoir of all beauty. And because it will be my great fortune to see him, therefore the success of my seeing capacity will be fulfilled today. Akura contemplated within himself to refute the doubtfulness of people how he accepted Lord Krishna as the Supreme Vishnu. In support of his view, he thought it that Lord Krishna glances over the material energy, and thus the cosmic manifestation comes into being. And although Lord Vishnu is the creator of this material world, by his own energy he is freed from the influence of material energy. By his internal potency he can pierce through the darkness of material energy. Similarly, Krishna, the original Vishnu, by expansion of his internal potency, has created the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In the Brahma Samhita, it is also confirmed that the paraphernalia and the abode of Krishna are expansion of his internal potency. In the same internal potency is exhibited in the world Vrindavan also, And by doing so, Krishna decides with his parents and enjoys in company with his friends, cowherd's boy and the gopi. In other words, by the statement of Okura, it is clear that as Krishna is transcendental to the modes of material nature, similarly, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are always engaged in loving service of the Lord, are also transcendental to the influence of the modes of material nature. Uddhava also considered the necessity of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. He thought it that the transcendental activities, instruction, qualities and pastimes of Krishna, they are all for auspiciousness of the people in general. The people in general remain constantly in Krishna consciousness by discussing the Lord's transcendental form, quality, pastimes, paraphernalia, and by doing so, the whole cosmic manifestation, universe, actually leads in auspiciousness and advances in all peaceful condition of life. And without such Krishna consciousness, the society is considered to be a decorated dead body. In other words, a dead body may be decorated very nicely, but without consciousness, as such decoration becomes useless. Similarly, in the human society, without Krishna consciousness, everything is useless, and without any life. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has now appeared as one of the descendants of the Juru dynasty. Principles of religiosity is, he enacted laws, and those who are abiding by such laws are the demigods, and those who are not abiding by such laws are demons. So he has accepted himself to give protection to the demigods who are very much obedient to the laws of the Supreme Lord. The demigods and the devotees of the Lord take pleasure in abiding by the laws of Krishna, and Krishna also takes pleasure in giving them all sorts of protection. These activities of Krishna, namely giving protection to the devotees and killing the demons, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, such narration will always be auspicious to the human society to hear them and to narrate them. And such glorious activities of the Lord will ever increasingly be chanted by the devotees and the demigods. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the spiritual master of all spiritual masters. He is the deliverer of all fallen souls. He is the proprietor of the three worlds. Anyone who is able to see him by the eyes smeared with love of Godhead actually performs the ceremony of observation. So today I shall be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who by his transcendental beauty has attracted the goddess of fortune to live with him perpetually. As soon as I shall arrive in Vrindavan, immediately I shall get down from the chariot and fall prostrate to offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord, the master of the material nature and the living entity. The lotus feet of Krishna is always worshipped by great mystic yogis. So I shall also worship his lotus feet, just becoming one of his friends in Vrindavan, like the cowherd's boy. When I shall bow down before Lord Krishna in that way, certainly he shall place on my head his fearless lotus hand, which he offers to all conditioned souls who take shelter under his lotus feet. Krishna is the ultimate goal of life for all people who are very much afraid of material existence, and certainly when I am going there, he would give me the shelter of his lotus feet to me. I am aspiring after the touch of his lotus-like hands on my head, because by touching the presentation given by King Indra and King Muli, both of them became the lords of the universe. And when the gopis are dancing with Krishna in the Rasa dance, Krishna, simply by touching them by his hand.
Chapter 38 continues. Akula expected blessings from the hand of Krishna, which someday blessed Indra, the king of heaven, for becoming the master of the three worlds, namely the upper planetary system, the middle planetary system, and the lower planetary system, simply by offering a little water, which was accepted by Krishna. Similarly, Bali Maharaj also gave in charity to Bhavandev 3 feet land only, and offered a little water, which Lord Bhavandev accepted, and thereby Bali Maharaj also became as good as Indra. Similarly, the gopis, when they were dancing with Krishna in Rasa, they became fatigued, and Krishna's hand being as fragrant as the lotus flower in the Manas Sarovara. So immediately Krishna smeared over their perspiration and they poured like drops on the face of the gopis, and therefore they immediately became refreshed. So Uddhava was expecting benediction from that supreme hand of Krishna. In other words, Krishna's hand is capable of bestowing benediction to all kinds of men if they take to Krishna consciousness. If somebody wants material happiness like the king of heaven, he can also derive benediction from the hand of Krishna. If anyone wants liberation from the pangs of material existence, he can also have benediction from the hands of Krishna. And if anyone in pure transcendental love for Krishna wants personal association and touch of his transcendental body, he can also have the benediction from his hand. Akrura, however, was afraid of his being deputed by Kamsa, the enemy of Krishna. He therefore thought that he was going to see Krishna as a messenger of the enemy, but at the same time he hoped that Krishna lives in everyone's heart as the super soul. So he must know actually the heart of Akrura. Although he was representative of the enemy of Krishna, his heart was clear. He was pure devotee of Krishna. He took the chance of Kamsa's deputation to meet Krishna. Therefore, he became sure and certain that although he was going as a principe, as a Kamsa, he would not accept him as on the same level of enemy. Even though I have got some sinful intention on account of being deputed by Kamsa, still when I approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall stand before him with all humbleness and folded hands, and at that time he must be pleased on my devotional attitude and may smilingly look upon me, and thereby I shall be freed from all kinds of sinful reaction. And certainly at that time I shall be on the platform of transcendental bliss and knowledge. As Krishna knows my heart, certainly when I approach him, he will embrace me with his long hand, because I am not only his one of the members of the family, Jada dynasty, but I am his relative, an unalloyed, pure devotee. And by his merciful embracing, surely my body, mind and soul will be immediately purified. And being purified by his touch, I shall be completely uncontaminated from the action and reaction of my past life.
In this way, when there will be touching of our bodies, I will immediately stand up with folded hands, with all humility. At that time, certainly Krishna and Balaram will call me as Akrura, uncle, and at that time my whole life will be glorious, because without being recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nobody's life is successful. In this statement of Akrura, it is clear that one should try to be recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his service and devotion, without which everyone's human form of life is condemned. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. He has no friend, no enemy. But a devotee who renders him service in devotion and love, he is inclined to him. There is another statement in the Bhagavad Gita that the Supreme Lord is responsive in proportion to the service rendered by the devotee. Akrura therefore thought that Krishna must be like the desire tree in the heavenly planet, which gives fruits according to the desire of the of the worshipper, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also reserved as source of everything. A devotee must know how to render service unto him and thus become recognized proportionately by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is therefore explained that one should serve both the spiritual master and Krishna simultaneously for making progress in Krishna consciousness. Service rendered to Krishna under the direction of the spiritual master is bona fide service, because the spiritual master is the manifested representative of Krishna. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur therefore says that satisfaction of the spiritual master is satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. It is exactly like service in a big government office. One has to work under the superintendent of the department, and if the superintendent of the department is satisfied with the service of a particular person, his promotion and increase of pay, everything will automatically come in. Akura then thought within himself that Krishna and Balaram, when they will be pleased with my behavior, certainly they will set hands with me and receive me within their house, and thus offer me all kinds of respectable hospitalities. After this, they will be in kind to ask me about the activities of Kansa along with his friends. In this way, Akura, who is the son of Safalka, contemplated the whole way, starting from Mathura, and at the end he reached Gokula by the end of the day when the sun was setting. In other words, Akura passed the whole way without knowing how much time it took, but when he reached Gokula, the sun was setting. Akura thus, as soon as he entered the boundary of Gokula, he began to see the footprints of the cows as well as Lord Krishna, because the footprints are impressed with the signs of his fort, namely the flag, the trident, and the flag and the lotus flower, which are the symbols of the transcendental lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus feet, which is worshipped and adored by the helmets of all demigods and great personalities of the three worlds. After looking on the footprints of Krishna, he immediately jumped down of the chariot out of respect and became overwhelmed with all the symptoms of ecstatic love, namely pouring down of tears, shivering of the body, out of extreme jubilation, and taking advantage of the dust touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. Immediately he fell flat on it and began to roll over it. Next verse. The example of Akura's activities in the matter of going to Vrindavan is ideal. Anyone who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the footsteps of Akura. That means on the way to Vrindavan, one should always think of the transcendental pastimes and activities of the Lord, and as soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear over his body the dust of Vrindavan without any thought of his material position and prestige. Sri Nathanda Thakur therefore sung in his celebrated song, Vishaya Chariya Kabe Suddhave Mon. When my mind will be purified after giving up the contamination of material sense enjoyment, at that time I shall be able to visit Vrindavan. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing some transport ticket. Actually, this is the process of going to Vrindavan as actually shown by Akula in his activities. Next paragraph. Thus Akula reached Vrindavan and saw Krishna and Balaram engaged in the matter of supervising milking of the cows. He saw Krishna was dressed in yellow garments and Balaram was dressed in bluish garments. And Akula also saw their eyes were exactly like the lotus flower grown beautifully during the autumn season. Akula saw both Krishna and Balaram just on the verge of youthhood, and although both of them were equal in their bodily features, one of them, namely Krishna, was blackish in complexion, whereas Balaram was whitish in complexion. Both of them were the center of goddess of fortune. Having well-constructed body and beautiful hands and pleasing face with strength as strong as of the elephant. He had already seen that the Vrindavan was impressed with the footprints of Krishna and Balaram, wherein he found the symbols, flag, thunderbolt, lotus flower, and trident. Now, actually, Akula when saw Krishna and Balaram face to face, he saw them as most influential personality, but at the same time glancing over him with a smiling face. Akula also could understand that both Krishna and Balaram, after coming back from tending of cows from the forest, took their bath and were dressed with fresh clothing, garlanded with nice flowers, as well as with necklace of valuable jewels smeared all over the body with the pulp of sandalwood. As such, the flavor of the flowers and sandalwood and their bodily presence were quite appreciable. In this way, Akula was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, along with his plenary expansion, Balaram, face to face, who are the original personalities of all creation. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Krishna is the original personality of Godhead and the cause of all causes. He could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply for the welfare of his creation, had appeared personally to re-establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the demonious disturbance of the world. Both the brothers, by their bodily effulgence, were dissipating all darkness of the world as if the mountain of sapphire stone and silver. Akula, thus without waiting further on his chariot, immediately got down and fell flat, just like a rod before Krishna and Balaram, touching their lotus feet. On account of his visiting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became so much overwhelmed with transcendental bliss that his voice choked up, he could not speak. But due to his transcendental pleasure, incessant torrents of tears were gliding down from the eyes. Thus he remained stunted in ecstasy, as if devoid of all powers to see and speak. Lord Krishna immediately, as he is usually very kind upon his devotee, raised Akula by his hand and embraced him. It appears that Lord Krishna was very, very pleased on Akula. After this, Balaram also embraced Akula, and catching his hand to hand, both Krishna and Balaram received him and brought him within their sitting room. In this way, both Krishna and Balaram welcomed Akula, offered him a very nice sitting place, and offered also water for washing his feet, and worshipped him with a suitable presentation of honey and other ingredients. When Arjuna was thus comfortably seated, both Krishna and Balaram offered him a cow in a charity, and after this he brought many palatable dishes of eatables, and Akula also accepted them. When Akula finished his eating, immediately Balaram greeted him with betel nuts and spices, as well as pulp of sandalwood, just to make him further pleased and comfortably seated. The basic system of receiving a guest was completely observed by Lord Krishna himself to teach all others how to receive a guest at home. It is basic injunction that even a guest is an enemy, he should be received so well that he could not apprehend any kind of danger from the host. If the host is a poor man, he should at least offer a straw as a sitting place and a glass of water to drink. Thus Krishna and Balaram welcome Akula, just befitting his exalted position. When Akula was thus properly received and seated, at that time Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, inquired from him, "My dear Akula, what shall I inquire from you? I know that you are all being protected by Kamsa, who is the most cruel and demoniac, and I know that your protection means just like the slaughterhouse keeper protects the animals for being killed in the future. I know Kamsa is so selfish that he has killed the sons of his own sister, and how I can expect a good protection from him of the citizens of Mathura." In this statement of Nanda Maharaj, there is a great significance. The purpose is that the political or executive head over the state, if he is simply personally interested he can never look after the welfare of the citizens. In this way, when Nanda Maharaj was talking with Akrura in great pleasing words, at that time Akrura forgot all the fatigue of his coming from Mathura to Vrindavan the whole day. Next verse, that ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 38th chapter, Krishna in the matter of Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan.